Magnesium plays a critical role in vital bodily functions, including energy production, heart health, immunity, and more restful sleep. Magnesium is ubiquitous in metabolic pathways that affect virtually all organ systems. So I'm excited to tell you about MagSRT from Jigsaw Health. MagSRT has rightfully earned a reputation as the most popular, most bioavailable, and best-tolerated magnesium brands in the world. The developers of MagSRT have solved a problem that deters many from getting adequate intake of elemental magnesium. Their unique formulation is gentle on the stomach and doesn't produce unwanted GI effects. Jigsaw Health also offers MagSoothe, a great-tasting, fast-acting, calming magnesium glycinate powder that helps relax your legs, muscles, and brain for better sleep. Jigsaw MagSoothe helps you fall asleep faster, sleep better, and reduces leg cramps. For more information and to order MagSRT and MagSoothe, just go to jigsawhealth.com. That's jigsawhealth.com. Use coupon code HOFFMAN10 for $10 off your order. That's jigsawhealth.com and use code HOFFMAN10 for MagSRT and MagSoothe. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to talk about a very important subject, the subject of fertility. Fertility, a big problem these days because as people delay conception, both men and women, it's getting harder and harder to conceive. And so we're seeing a boom in IVF and assisted reproduction. And often the blame is placed on the women, and they receive the brunt of the interventions, and it's acknowledged that nutrition is very, very important for women. We'll get into that. But it's less commonly recognized that various aspects of lifestyle and nutrition make a big difference for men, and I highlight the fact that many, many studies are corroborating the fact that the quality of sperm is declining across the world, and especially in developed countries like the United States, Canada, Europe, and so on. And there's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And to help us clear it up, we're going to talk to an expert. She's Ayla Barmer. She has a master's degree. She's also a registered dietitian. She is a nutritionist, a functional medicine practitioner, and founder of Full Well, which focuses on lifestyle, diet, and supplement solutions for fertility. So here's Ayla. Welcome. Thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
It's my great pleasure. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this area.
Yeah, so fertility wasn't a common area of work when I started, specifically for registered dietitians, but it is more so now given the degree to which nutrition and lifestyle impact fertility. And my work with couples in the fertility space really evolved over years in my private practice. And it was due to a need that I saw in my community. I was actually being referred clients over to the practice, women exclusively, never men, from the local IVF clinic. And they were given one direction, which was to try to lose weight as fast as they can, or else their IVF cycles may be canceled. And so I would see women who were stressed, who felt like they didn't have a lot of control over the situation. It was challenging. And I just knew as I was working with them that there had to be more that I could do to support them, and kind of instinctively knew that it had to involve men as well. And so that's where I really started diving into the research and started to specialize, you know, in fertility and seeing couples. And over years, my practice model evolved to require that couples work with me together if they wanted fertility support, which was something that I remember a business coach saying, you're never going to be successful with this, you know, this kind of model, but it really felt so important. So, after really seeing such success with the protocols and interventions and the cases that I was seeing, I just knew that I had more that I could share, you know, with a larger audience. And so Full Well was born partly out of the desire to do that, to reach a larger audience, but also because when I was choosing dietary supplements as part of the protocols, I really was just frustrated with the lack of evidence that really supported the formulas that were on the market, and very frustrated with the lack of transparency in the supplement industry. So I wanted to get behind the curtain as a health practitioner and see exactly how are these made, have control over the testing, make sure the dosing and the forms of the nutrients were matching the evidence, and were going to be most supportive, really with the goal being I wanted to create things that I could use with my patients in my practice, with myself, and feel confident in.
Indeed. But it turns out that from a business standpoint, I just noticed there was an article in the Wall Street Journal recently about a bunch of startups. Sperm is a focus of startups looking to boost fertility. So, even from a business standpoint, you may have been on the right track. A bunch of companies are offering nutritional supplements. They're offering advice to people. The article says that a man today has half the number of sperm that his grandfather had. Poor sperm health is associated with increased time to pregnancy, increased risk of infertility and miscarriage, and higher chances that you'll use advanced reproductive technologies such as IVF. So I guess the man's role is now being considered, and kind of a gold rush, frankly. And it sounds like you were ahead of the curve.
Yes. Well, I've always gotten so excited about the fertility work for a variety of reasons beyond just helping couples, start a family or grow a family. It's more than just, the positive pregnancy test to me. I mean, it really focusing on the preconception window before pregnancy, regardless of whether or not you even have trouble conceiving, is important for everyone because it's really the ultimate preventative medicine. I mean, we can influence the health of future generations by really zoning in on that time frame. And so I get really excited about it. Anyway.
Indeed. So what are some of the factors that are involved that may compromise fertility for both men and women? And how do you, when you do preconceptual planning or a consultation, what are some of the areas that you focus on?
Yeah, so that's a great question and a big question. And I think maybe to lay the foundations too, because maybe not all listeners know this, but you referenced how men's fertility and sperm counts are declining. And we've seen that over the past few decades. But it's also important to know that the issue is equally affecting both men and women. So to put it into perspective with numbers, 30% of infertility issues are due primarily to male factors, 30% due to primarily female factors. And then there's this remaining 40% that is the most frustrating diagnosis of all, is the unexplained infertility. And that's what I would wind up seeing most frequently in my practice. And where there's really no answer, it's probably a combination of both men and women. And I mean, it turns out that a lot of the interventions and a lot of the areas we want to look at and focus on, the root causes of fertility issues, so to speak, are very similar for men and women. And that's nice in the sense that if it is a couple I'm working with, they can make a lot of these changes together. So I always think about it this way, and it's how I've always described it. That the body by design will always really prioritize everything else over reproduction, and so the way that I think about it is, how do we get at where are the resources being diverted to? And so that's the lens that I kind of look through. And some of the big buckets, things that will, really create an issue with reproductive functioning are things that affect metabolism. So the metabolic system talks to the reproductive system. They're reciprocally regulated, and so for both men and women, I do see it more commonly with women. There's a balance, right, between exercise and nutrition. So on the one hand, on one extreme, you may be over-exercising and undernourishing, and that's where we see
kind of running on fumes.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And reproductive health turning down. So you do need, at this stage of life, it's like you need enough calories, enough nourishment, enough nutrition to keep the reproductive system functioning, to keep your body producing hormones, nutrient deficiencies. That's another big bucket area that I would see as a root cause to poor sperm quality, poor egg quality. Things that really affect developing eggs and sperm in that preconception period are things like oxidative stress and nutrient deficiencies. So just to kind of back that up a little bit, we need a lot of nutrients to produce hormones efficiently, to metabolize hormones efficiently, to create healthy cervical fluid and semen. There's actually trace minerals found throughout semen and, you know, cervical fluid, and to protect both the developing egg and sperm. Both nutrients and antioxidants are very important for that. And so I always look for, are we depleted, you know, in any of these things? And there's so many things in our modern environment that can deplete us. And let's fill those gaps. And so those are a couple of the big buckets. I mean, some of the other things that I would look at would be things that may affect hormone production and metabolism. So this is where it falls in, where it falls into the nutrition realm for me is, nutrition is the vitamins and minerals and antioxidants help support the systems in our body to a very large degree, from our liver to our reproductive organs to our brain, right? So those are a couple of the areas, but I'll stop there and see, because I can, I may be winding on a tangent here. I want to make sure it's clear.
Okay, sure. Importantly, are there theories as to why fertility is declining in men? That it's been said very graphically that sperm is an endangered species, and could this be a sign of increased environmental toxins? And if so, how can that problem be alleviated in the preconceptual period? Should people undergo some kind of detoxification process? Do you kind of evaluate what products they use, you know, the cosmetics, the food additives, evaluate their homes and workplaces?
Yes, this is a huge area, and a lot of the research that's been done in men's fertility is pointing towards environmental exposures and heavy metal exposures being a really big part of the decline in overall sperm quality over the years. Some of the places to really look at, and those things not only influence sperm quality, but it does also influence the epigenetics, the imprinting that's going to happen too. So we're talking really about the long-term health of baby.
Let's focus a little bit on the epigenetics for a minute. We'll come back to the toxicity issue. What's fascinating me is that you have genes, but the genes are affected by your environment and the translation of your genes into who you are or who your child is going to be are affected by environmental factors. Okay, that's a given. But what's interesting is that there appear to be transgenerational factors.
Yes.
Mothers who are extraordinarily stressed, that may trickle down to their grandchildren and beyond. People who have PTSD, there's actually thought that may, even though their genes aren't altered, it's not like they've had radiation, which alters their genetic composition, but the way that their genes are interpreted in physiology is altered, and that's called epigenetics. So, stress can do that. Being overweight, being subject to starvation, populations which have experienced starvation, such as during wartime, and that may have an impact on offspring. So, maybe we can take a tangential look at the epigenetic issue and the transgenerational transmission of certain factors.
Yes, this is really where I, and this is the reason why I find it so exciting to work in this area, because I really feel that the work done in the preconception period by both men and women, just being more thoughtful about diet, lifestyle, and exposures can have this multi-generational impact, and some of the research does show that, for men, tracing back to adolescence, puberty, for both women and men, that stage of life is actually very important as well. So we don't have a lot of control. We can't go back in time, but it is something that I think about as I have a son, and a daughter. And, as they enter adolescence, puberty, diet and lifestyle are really important there too, because that epigenetic, those components there are going to play a role in their future.
You worry about those keg parties, and you worry about, you know, some of the things that they may be inhaling or imbibing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, exactly. And getting really specific, because this is related to epigenetics through imprinting. But one thing that just I find fascinating and I'm really trying to educate on is that during pregnancy, a woman develops an entirely new organ, right? The placenta. And, you know, that organ is really important for nourishing baby, filtering out things. But what is fascinating is that men's contribute more to the development of the placenta than women do through imprinting. Yeah. Right. And so what they're finding is that in the research, there's more and more links now to men in the preconception period, what they're doing then, and pregnancy complications that can be related to the placenta health, like preeclampsia, even preterm birth, miscarriage, pregnancy loss. So I also think of this as something really that what men are doing in that preconception period is affecting the health of the pregnancy too, and some of the biggest risks for maternal mortality.
Indeed. So again, what can we do to reduce the risk of toxicity or optimize our epigenetic translation of our genetic code?
Yes. So first, I think, you know, some big bang for your buck type things to focus on to reduce your toxin exposure in a world where we cannot control it all, we can't live in a bubble, is to, for me, number one, it's to swap out fragrance products. Synthetic fragrances are known sources of hormone disrupting chemicals like phthalates. They are just so prevalent in our environment and just throughout our day that I do feel that that's a really good place to start. So think of, you know, your air fresheners, those wall plug-ins, the car air fresheners, colognes, you know, the really strongly scented but greenwashed products like Mrs. Meyer's soaps and cleaners, you know, those are the things to ditch altogether, or, you know, maybe swap out with something that's more like essential oil based. That will have a big impact for both men and women, and can help remove some issues. So I'd say also looking at water filtration is important. There is a lot that is in our water supplies now, some of which is controlled for in municipal water, you know, filtration systems, some of which isn't, you know, so I think testing water, a good water filtration system is a good idea. Some other things that I recommend that women and men focus on in that preconception period would be reducing alcohol intake. So the things I'm talking about here are really, how do we remove some straws from the camel's back so that your body has to process less and resources are available for good reproductive health. So the alcohol thing is never popular. It doesn't necessarily have to go entirely, but, it is important. It is something that we have to detoxify through the liver and, you know, and other systems, and that will require nutrients. So that's important. Smoking, you know, I think we know this at this point, but particularly cigarettes, the thing about sperm and egg is that they're very sensitive to oxidative stress. So, you know, cigarette smoking is going to generate a lot of that. So those are some of the things to avoid, but I do have a list of four things that I think are great to focus on if you want me to hit those more positive. First, very simply, we want to really flood the body with the right stuff. So that's where the nutrition piece comes in. We want to help combat those things that we can't control, such as age or those certain environmental exposures. So top of that list is really eating a diet high in antioxidants and omega-3 fatty acids. So think fruits, vegetables, seafood, including shellfish, which are uniquely high in sperm-supporting nutrients like zinc and selenium. Number two would be exercising routinely, anything to move your body to get that fresh, oxygenated, nutrient-rich blood pumping through the body. I mean, we want the brain to be talking to the reproductive organs and have good nutrients and blood flow between, and that can help with hormone balance.
Mm-hmm. And some evidence that strength training, for example, can help to support mm-hmm. Adequate testosterone levels. But punishing ultra long distance events may actually deplete testosterone. Also, in women, they're known to cause amenorrhea or loss of periods.
Right, right. And that's what we were talking about earlier when, you know, there's that amenorrhea can, hypothalamic amenorrhea can develop when you've undernourished and typically over-exercised. So mm-hmm. a lot more calories out than in. Mm-hmm. I have seen that happen with men as well, you know, where there's been over-exercising and under-eating and they've got in turn a decline in reproductive hormones too. You know, getting 7-8 hours sleep a night, I know these things aren't surprising, but I always like to mm-hmm. say the why. So if we can think about why and the connection point, sure. I think it helps to focus on it. So ideally it's 7-8 hours as closely in sync as possible with our light and dark cycles, because we're living in modern environments with artificial light, blue light, right? And our circadian rhythm is very much tied to our reproductive health. And it's one of the reasons why we actually see some seasonal changes in fertility rates. And we see some more fertility issues in shift workers. Melatonin, a natural hormone, right, that is produced by the pineal gland and helps with sleep, is also associated with better egg quality and protective for the egg. I would imagine, although it hasn't been as studied, that it also is protective for sperm and has kind of an antioxidant-like function in that way.
Mm-hmm. And generated naturally with natural cycles, circadian rhythm of mm-hmm. darkness and light, you know, but you can
right.
take supplemental melatonin. Keep going.
Yep. And it can be helpful given that melatonin production has been impacted by our modern environments. But mm-hmm. lastly, you know, I would say daily supplementation. That's where this fits in. I mean, first we've got the foundation of diet and lifestyle. Then, you know, we've got daily supplementation because we aren't going to be able to do all the things perfectly every day. So, you know, a high quality supplement, I put a lot of thought and care behind Fullwell's formulations, and those can really help fill the gap, you know, and support a stage of life that's very nutrient intensive.
Indeed. Okay. You've introduced a lot of subjects and I have a ton of questions for you. I want to find out, you know, what some of the secret sauce that goes into the Fullwell supplements. The website is fullwell.com. Is that correct?
Fullwellfertility.com.
Fullwellfertility.com. And our guest is an expert on preconceptual planning and with a focus not to exclude women, but recognizing the important role that men play and contribute in terms of fertility and also optimal outcomes, because we're not just talking about getting pregnant. We're talking about, you know, how many years of schooling do you want your kids to go for? It's going to cost you a lot in 2040 to send your kids to college, but it's worth it. Do you want college? Do you want graduate school? You want multiple professional degrees, PhDs, and so on. And you can actually have an impact on that with the right kind of preconceptual planning. Our guest is Ayla Barmer. Let's spell that. It's Ayla, A-Y-L-A. Barmer is B-A-R-M-M-E-R. She's a registered dietitian, also has a master's degree, and she is a functional medicine practitioner, founder of Fullwell, which is Boston-based, am I right?
That's right, yep.
But you see you probably do a lot of telemedicine, and you work with clients all over the country, perhaps all over the world. When we continue, we're going to talk more specifically about optimizing fertility and optimizing outcomes through lifestyle and nutrition. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.